This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls.
Greetings, adventurers. I am Tom. No, wait, no, I'm Lotus of Doom. I've seized control. This time, as we've joked before, sometimes I'm missing in action. Well, this week, Tom is at the store. But don't worry, kids, he'll be back. Just not this week. however, luckily, it's not just me, and we have all of our Patreons here for this episode. So we will go down the list, at least in the direction that I can see everybody, because I'm not sure this is synced up on everybody's screens exactly, what with us jumping stuff around. But Ben, hello.
Hello.
There you go. It's like the wave is great for us. And then we have T-Rex again. Hello, T-Rex.
Hello, hello. I'm back, finally.
I know, it's good to have you back. And we have Rob the Princess.
Where's my dad?
I told you, at the store. And then we have Josh. Do you want me to do Josh or Spartan? Do you have a preference?
Either or. I don't really. It doesn't really matter to me. Yeah, I'm just happy
okay,
to be here.
Fair enough. Josh, welcome.
Fun with it, yeah.
Jamorif, back again as well. How you doing?
Well.
And let's see, there's this robot's written. No, wait, we have to skip him. He's too quiet. Now we go over to Falcon. Hello, Falcon. Welcome back as well.
Hello.
All right. So we had our little vote earlier, and we decided for our topic kind of to close out the long-standing series that we've been doing involving all the provinces. We are going to go over our favorite province from the Elder Scrolls. We'll see how precise people want to go. We already had discussions, and I alluded to the fact that mine's kind of weird because I usually have weird cop-out answers that don't fit the rules that we make. But so we're just gonna go discuss more region stuff and what everybody, you know, enjoys for region of choice. I personally find this to be, I don't know, the most interesting part of the series a lot of times, where it's the land more than the characters that make the game to me. But that's not necessarily always the case. So who do we have anybody that wants to jump in to kick things off with what your favorite region might be and why that might be your favorite region?
Yeah, I could go.
Perfect.
I could go and I could speak
it.
On a couple different things.
Sure.
I think overall, aesthetically, the prettiest place to be would be Blackreach. I really like what ESO does with it. Just walking around there is really, you know, the ambience and the light and everything. It's really pretty. And it's, I haven't spent a ton of time down there, but I want to. I think it's a really cool place. But honestly, it might be just because my main is a Breton, and I like to think of Glenumbra as like the Stormwind. Of ESO, you know, if you're familiar with World of Warcraft. And I love Glenumbra too. I could just walk around. I know it's a base game zone. It's not
for sure
as pretty as everything else, but it's a joy to me to just live in the castles and walk around, watch the city folk do their thing.
All right. So I've got a question for you. We'll start with the Blackreach part, because that's actually pretty interesting. I like that that's already like, ooh, that's a good and kind of like not traditional choice to kick things off. Now, you had mentioned the ESO version. Prior to the ESO version, would you have considered just the Skyrim part enough to make it a favorite region? Or was it that it was fleshed out so much in ESO and it turns out it's so much bigger than we first saw that kind of made you like it?
It's the ESO version
that got okay
me. Yeah, originally in Skyrim it was cool. It was definitely cool,
sure,
but I just like what Zoss did with it. I like how everything looks and how it feels to be down there
for sure. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Yeah, I like those. And I was going to say, are you a big fan of, I don't know, medieval Europe type of deal?
Yeah, I am. You know, just
okay.
Classic, know was, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. The classic. Yeah, no, that totally
for the non-ESO players, Glenumbra is in High Rock.
It is. High Rock, yeah. I just assume naturally everybody played the Elder Scrolls II Daggerfall. Am I mistaken? No, nobody. No. No, that's not common knowledge. Oh, I see.
There was a large group of 12 people.
Hey, this isn't Battlespire.
That was before my time.
Battlespire is like 6.
That's valid. That's valid. Up until recently.
2 hours.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Most people might have started these games too, but I mean, on a, you know, a brief tangent, until recently, I believe on all Steam, only one person had completed Redguard. So,
and I will say, 12 living people, because most of them passed away from old age.
From age. Thanks. I'm literally withering away as we speak. Awesome. No, I really like those. That's a interesting set of choices, especially the Blackreach one, since it's kind of like part of the region. Anybody else have any like opinions on this specifically, or feel like jumping in next?
Blackreach.
Well, Glenumbra is so generic. I get it if no one likes it. It's really like bland. If you look at the stuff nowadays.
So yeah. To preface, literally, I can't think of a single thing any of you will say that will not be somehow backed up by what I'm going to say to end this. So don't worry about being generic or bland.
High Rock, yeah, there's nothing nice I really have to say except, yeah, it's got some nice green hills and
that's about it.
I guess like the creatures there and like the magic there, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens. But as for like the setting itself, I don't know. Nothing calls out to me. But Blackreach, super cool choice. Really dig that because there's right. So many fests. So there's a lot of like the Thalmor overrun stuff. There's a lot of the Dwemer ruins from underneath. There's a secret dragon nesting in there. And then also we found out in as of ESO, there's an entire vampire fort down there as well.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff.
All right. So who, anybody want to jump in next?
Yeah, I was actually going to jump on Humeriff's Breton bandwagon there. Because normally I play as a Breton as well, and I was going to say Skyrim at first, but High Rock or not High Rock, High Isle.
With High, that, all right,
and High Isle's great.
It's,
all right,
it's I love the sea. I love the aesthetics of it being a medieval like Renaissance style, and I'm a huge. I love the Renaissance stuff. Anything Renaissance, I'm
and that, and that is like literally Renaissance galore.
Yes, they even
when
have
around
like,
the corner and there's those that jousting area.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I was like, yes,
like you can go and like there's an actual like jousting tournament and everything at one part of the island, and I just like the castle aesthetics and everything. It's just beautiful. Plus yeah. Tales of Tribute, so
for sure. So that just on a this is briefly, sorry, this is what you get with me as a host. We're periodically going to have like tangentially related things. Have you ever played Chivalry?
Yes.
Or Chivalry 2? Okay. Because yes. I was going to say the reason I bring that up specifically, other than like sort of generic medieval setting type of thing, is Chivalry 2, I played a irresponsible amount when it launched. And one of the areas is it's like this jousting arena. It's a first person, third person, like battle game type of thing. And when they showed the High Isle cinematic, when we first were like shown it at the reveal, and they kind of did like the flyby of the jousting arena, that was exactly what I thought of. I was like, hey, I've already been there, killing too. People, throwing heads into the audience type of deal. So yeah,
beating
no,
people
I totally
with a chicken.
Agree. Yeah, exactly. But no, I very much agree with that. It's really cool. I think they did a fantastic job with High Isle, especially because they had next to nothing to work with, as it was a brief reference in the companion book to the Elder Scrolls Adventures Redguard, and that was the only time we had heard of the Sisters Island or like the Sisters Archipelago. And they flesh it out into such a cool environment that we got to spend a decent amount of time in. And that DLC is, or I guess chapter and everything, is underrated in my opinion. Yes. Without a doubt.
Ben, I like your answer more than mine. I don't know how I forgot about Hi-Io.
Well, when you said Brett, and I was like, oh, Hi-Io.
It's Hi-Rock, but with volcanoes.
It is way better. Hi-Io's dope. I realized when we were getting ready for this episode, I was thinking, like, where do I spend the most time in? Like, where's my home? Like, I have a buddy who lives in elsewhere. If he plays the game, he's in elsewhere.
Yeah.
Where do I spend my time? It's in Glenumbra, but Hi-Io is definitely, I think.
For sure.
I have, you know, my home's in Skyrim and Solitude, but the only home you have in Hi-Io is the freaking, like, giant castle, which is so expensive.
Yeah, well, I base in Solitude in ESO. That's, I would choose other places if I could. They just don't exist in the game yet. So, with time.
Fair.
We'll get there, huh?
Yeah. With time. Awesome. All right. Anybody want to jump in next with what you are thinking or have any other opinions? We know Chamorro just didn't really, to be fair, like, I also kind of think that had the art team had the experience that they have now after 8 years with Elder Scrolls Online, I feel like Glenumbra probably would have looked a lot more like what we got artistically in Hi-Io, because you can, yeah, I mean, not that the base game's ugly like in ESO, but
it,
like,
ain't pretty.
Well, I think the landscapes would look a lot similar. There's obviously, yeah, subtracting volcanoes because those
sure. But like the art direction to each of the zones has become magnified so much with each expansion, where you can tell it's like, oh, this is a base game zone. Okay, this is like mid-level type of thing. Oh, this is really, really over the top, the amount of, you know, everything that's happening in there. So they've become much more efficient as well as talented over the years of kind of fleshing out the zones, even if aesthetically it's kind of similar. Because like, if you look at any of the like, if you go to Reaper's March, which is like right on the edge of Elsewhere, and then you go to Elsewhere, they're both very similar savanna desert type of thing,
right?
And the amount
Elsewhere,
right, exactly. And it's like the amount in the environment is just so much more in Elsewhere than it is in, you know, you say you go to the City of Dune or something like
and
that.
And then just to add to the, like, it's just a, it's like Hi-Rock in Hi-Io, but a little bit nicer because you get a lot of the Altmer influence because it's like a vacation island just north of the Somerset Isles.
Yes.
And so you have like a lot of Hi-Rock culture influences, and the landscape looks very like hilly, kind of like Hi-Rock would.
Absolutely.
But then you have a lot of these like elven touches and influences as well. And
yeah, plus there's so much aristocracy chilling over there too, where it's such like a vacation getaway. So it's like, you know, if you can't raise your pinky to a certain height, you're probably not going to be allowed past the docks. So
yeah. Just like Somerset Isle, just a bunch of island full of
also
rich people.
Mechanically, the zones have improved too. You know, like in Hi-Io, you got mounted guards, which is something that you don't realize how cool it, how much we've been missing, how much you lack it till you see it. You know, it's really cool.
I that one specifically kind of blew my mind when that was originally shown. I'm like, how did it never click that we didn't have mounted guards until they were like, hey, by the way, there's mounted guards. It's like, oh yeah, I guess we didn't have mounted guards beforehand, huh? Okay. The other thing that's actually really cool, just before we move on from the whole Hi-Io thing, is what with the landscape and stuff, and they are, you know, it's a set of islands, that being an archipelago. Since you're surrounded entirely by water, the docks that they have around there are much more active. Again, speaking to the art team, how much they've grown over the years, you actually can watch boats go around the harbor and stuff like that, which is something that you actually don't get in base game. Like, they've got them set up where it's like, okay, yeah, they're docked and this is happening and blah, blah, blah. But like in Hi-Io, you can actually see boats like leaving the ports and stuff like that. It was actually kind of like mind blowing. It's like, that is a lot of stuff that they've got going on. Like
in
currently.
Base game, whenever a boat like moves, quote unquote, it just like the screen blacks and then the
fade
boat's
to black.
In a different place now.
Yes.
But like now you actually see boats moving in the water. So it's just like an in-game difference, not necessarily like, oh, the boats actually move in high aisles. Like, well, in game, that's the difference. And so it's a little nicer to be there.
Exactly. And I mean, with the upcoming chapter of Necrom, there's a house that's literally a moving boat out on the water. So look, we're going to be throwing people off and seeing where they end up until they're killed by slaughterfish. That's that's the purpose of that place. That's the reason you have that house. All right. Yeah. Another good choice. Anybody want to jump in next? Other people
I'll
shopping.
Go.
All right. Go for it, T-Rex.
I was tempted to cut her off, right? Because I saw her going for the unmute.
Just wait until somebody starts to speak and then be like, actually, me.
So I kind of have two. The first one is going to be Valenwood, specifically Grotwood.
Okay.
Mainly because it's aesthetically pleasing to my eyeballs.
Fair, fair.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of when I was in like elementary school. I used to go on vacation with my aunt and uncle, and we used to go to like Georgia, Tennessee, Maine, New Hampshire, and we would always get like a cabin in the mountains.
Okay.
And like all the trees and everything, it just kind of reminds me of that. And so that's why that one is really aesthetically pleasing to me.
Sure. You got the nostalgia pull. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other one is going to kind of be for the same reason, but not exactly the same reason. So the other one's going to be the Somerset Isles. And that's mainly because of the beaches.
Okay.
Born and raised in Florida. I mean,
you got the tropical vibe going down there.
Yeah. Yeah. The Keys, they're absolutely gorgeous. And that kind of, it just reminds me of that too. So, and like even like certain places in the Gulf of Mexico side of Florida, it's like that, like clear blue water, just, you know, calming, beautiful places like that.
So, all right, we're gonna say because I kind of like hearing like why you all like the regions. So the nostalgia thing totally makes sense. I gotta know one bit though about Grotwood, just because I know you've jumped in and out of ESO, like, you know, it, like most people do, jump in and out in spurts. I assume you've probably, since you spent time there, you probably cleared out that zone type of deal within ESO to a degree. Did you do the story there, or just kind of explore?
Oh yeah,
okay.
I've done it many times over.
Sure. Okay. So just because this is much more back in the day type of thing, when you kind of had to play through the alliances in a very specific order, which was awkward and not as well designed as ESO is now. Did the travel throughout the area, like, because that place is very aesthetically pleasing, like you said, but in gameplay practicality, it's probably one of the most difficult places to navigate because it's so vertical and everything like that. Did that ever actually like bug you, or was just like, you know what? I love this place. It does not matter.
Yeah, no, it didn't really bug me.
Okay, because it's funny. I just remember it being like, people used to always be like, oh my God, Grotwood. And it was like, I feel like it got such a bad rap because nobody could efficiently do that quest line because it took forever to get around.
I mean, yeah, it does. But I feel like there are other regions that are, you know, similar.
Yeah,
I mean, especially, like, so... But the fact that it was aesthetically pleasing, that kind of just like negated, you know, any negatives about it, really. And, you know, when we were, when you guys were talking about, like, where do you spend most of your time? My characters, like, I've kind of gone away from the Old Mary Dominion and gone more towards the Ebonheart Pact.
Hell yeah.
all the thumbs up.
Screw the thumbs up.
Good.
Even with that, I still go to the Grotto every time for crafting.
Crafting.
It's everything.
Once something becomes your home base, I totally get it. Like, it really, it just clicks. Like,
It does. And like, especially on the second level, when you're doing the crafting, like everything's in a circle right there. You don't have to like go very far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, I mean, it's just, I don't know.
No, it's funny. So the reason I just asked that was because it never really bothered me, but I remember back in the day that a lot of people had problems with it. But it's one of those things where I didn't find it was, I don't know. Sometimes I definitely like games being designed to be fun and convenient as well, not to just be like annoying. But like, I don't know. I didn't find it that detrimental there, but I just remember there was like a lot of problems where people were like, oh my God, it's so hard to navigate. And I'm like, well, logistically, it's a giant forest.
Like,
it should be super easy to navigate.
Like, right. I think it adds to it. Like, you're you get lost in that jungle.
In the jungle.
Like, damn, I have to climb this tree and that hill. And
right.
And the only complaint is there's not enough trees. I feel like should get lost more.
Well, that's, I, to be fair, nowadays, like, if you had the art team, like we were just talking about, if you had the art team doing it now, I feel like it would sound like your processor was blasting off into space because there would just be like 2,000 trees every 4 feet. And there's trees on trees on trees. And it's like, I feel like just because of when it was launched, it's much more reasonable looking. But they did what they could for the, you know, for the time. It was 2014, which is kind of weird to think about when that came out.
Long time.
Right.
Can I That's add two things real quick?
Absolutely.
One, the discussion we were having in Discord about what this conversation would be about, one of the options was mechanics.
Yes.
What we'd like to see added. And, you know, they love to pull from the older games, from Arena and Daggerfall. I think they should add climbing in this game, but that's
a
conversation for a different.
I totally agree, but I
think it'd be so rad.
I would love that. I still think we need to turn that into a show at a later date. This one seemed much more
Breath
logical
of the Wild
to do.
Climb anywhere.
Yes, they're just like, oh, you're just suddenly climbing. Yeah. It's like when I first discovered that in the older game, I was like, what the?
I imagine the world building they would do would expand so much, and Grotwood and all those places would be way more enjoyable. You'd be seeing trees. Like
that. It would add a whole nother element to it. Like,
yeah I can
as long as you have a
building
in Skyrim, there's climbing.
True. And then the other thing I wanted to say was, I'm realizing as we go through everyone's favorite places, how'd I forget about Grotwood? It's a big giant tree. Like it's so cool. It's so cool.
I love Fringal. You know, every single time someone says their new place, right? Like, you know, that's mine. No, that's mine.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
You know what?
All right, I'm done.
But all right. So, the other thing, again, addressing your other choice too, because I didn't want to forget that. So you had mentioned, the Somerset expansion, I assume is what you mean. So is it anything from there? Like, did you like Auradon as an island, or is it more specifically? Okay. So it's kind of just that tropical high fantasy region.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you meant specifically it's just like the Somerset expansion, or it's like literally Somerset or Somerset, if you want to have how it used to be pronounced in the series. They just gloss over
that has those tall bastards.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, because I grew up born and raised in Florida, and like if you go down to the Keys, that's literally like what it would remind you of. The Keys are just clear blue water, beaches, beautiful. And then, like I said, some places in the Gulf, and then even some places in the Atlantic are like that. And it's just, it reminds me of my home. You know what I mean?
Another nostalgia pull. You had a nostalgia pull for vacations and a nostalgia pull for where you lived. I think that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else want to jump in with what I was going to say? Now we got some inspiration floating around too, if you were indecisive prior to this.
I'll go.
All righty.
So, I mean, I feel like honorable mention to Skyrim, because that was like the scenery in that game, I feel like really was a huge contributing factor for me liking the game and then getting into the series.
Yep.
Is the beautiful landscapes they have there. But you know, Orsinium has a lot of the very similar landscapes, yep. and they got orcs and stuff over there. So I would have to pick Orsinium as my favorite.
Rob, do you like orcs? I didn't know.
But they're all backstabbing.
When Rob hopped on, I was like, oh, I know where this is going.
You might have heard this once or twice before. I do have an inkling towards the Orsimer race. They're an interesting folk. But
all the orcs in Orsinium wanted to kill you towards the end.
Maybe you shouldn't be someone they want to kill. That's not my problem.
Wow.
Talk to the storyline.
They all liked me. I don't know what you're talking about.
That was a side note without spoiling anything for anybody who might not have played Orsinium or the area's Hrothgar that you're in type of thing. That is another that was technically before they were chapters. It was just like the first expansion to the game, but they really weren't. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a name for it yet. I sometimes joke with some people. We just call it Chapter Zero because it was before they labeled them chapters.
Like, Craglorn was a DLC for consoles, but it wasn't a DLC for PC, so they don't count that one. And so the next
right,
actual
so it was
DLC.
Like, well, it came on our disc at launch on console, so it was like sort of part of it, but like it had been expanded upon from what was originally in the game. And then like there was the you know, they had the Imperial City was like added, but these were like smaller things. Hrothgar was essentially what we know as the chapters nowadays. It's just like an enormous region, tons of new stuff added all in one giant pile.
And on to that note, though, when we're talking about the Hrothgar mountains and then the other areas, Orsinium is not one set location. It to quote Thor, it is a people, not a place. and so it's really cool because like there's an Orsinium that's been in the Craglorn area kind of by Dragon. What's that town that's like in between?
Dragonstar.
Dragonstar. The most recent founding of Orsinium is just north of Dragonstar, I'm pretty sure.
Right. It does help when it's getting raised to the ground and rebuilt in other locations. So it would help if it was less raised frequently.
It seems to always be in a very mountainous region, which I'm very, like I said, like I love Skyrim and they have like a lot of cool snowy mountains.
For sure.
And so it's just like, oh, do you have like the rocky type of mountains or do you have the snowy type of mountains or do you have... Wherever Orsinium has been, there's always been a very large mountainous region. Is they like a good defensive place to place their forts?
Yeah.
But yeah, makes sense. Super cool scenery every time they've founded a place for Orsinium. It's just been a lot of like the Reach is a beautiful place. The Hrothgarian Mountains are a beautiful place. There's a lot of cool places around there. And the orcs just have like a really cool society to build around of that, and I like their architecture, very rugged and outdoorsy survivalist type stuff. I very much appreciate that kind of stuff.
Watching doing the Orsinium Hrothgar Chapter Zero and learning the infighting between Trinimac followers and Malakath followers was really interesting. I had no idea about Trinimac's story until that chapter, until I got in there, and then
watching
the priestess like debate it and everything. And I'm gonna gush over Orsinium a little bit.
As you should. It's fantastic.
Yeah, man. when you're, it's a bit of a spoiler, I think, but you know, it's been years. When you're up in the mountains, I can't remember what quest it is, but the environmental effects start to kick in. And
I know snow falls
and you're and you're walking,
and your character literally puts up their hand because the winds are getting stronger, and it actually does like the extra snow effects. I know which one you're talking about.
It's a small touch, but it's really that sucked me into the game. And the old Orsinium dungeon might be one of the best looking, like just sucks you, and you get lost into an old city doing that. And like I said, each time we talk about a new zone, I remember how much I love it. Orsinium is phenomenal. I love it.
Old Orsinium has a really funny puzzle. Whenever you go back there, if you can tell who reads the books around the environment and who doesn't, because you will see people who haven't been there yet just like attacking the door because it won't just solve itself. whereas you need to like actually read the puzzle to do the order of the like symbols of the clans to make the door open. And it requires you to read like three pages of a book, and you can tell people are just like, no, can't read book, must get through. And they'll just sit there, and I'm like, bruh, you could have read the book 10 times and just turned.
It's because Skyrim deluded everyone and just
everything's
at the
a
claw,
whale claw.
And it's yeah, exactly.
Oh, whale, let's make a bird, puzzle. Snake. It's the only option.
Yeah, the puzzles in the ESO as a whole aren't too difficult, but I'd say on average they are slightly more difficult than the ones you would encounter in Skyrim.
Well, usually the answer is very close by as well, but I've just always found that funny because once you solve it, you're allowed to go in and out at will. Like, you're
good.
The
answer
in
Skyrim puzzles is look on the walls. That's the answer.
Yeah, correct.
The answer in ESO is find a nearby piece of paper, find a book somewhere on the ground, read what it has to say. It's going to tell you the answer in like a page or so.
Nope.
I took someone through Old Arsinium recently. And I just let them figure it out. I just sat back and I started to cackle when they're like, what the hell? And they're hitting all the things. And
things
kept going. And
that's what I mean. It's funny. You can always tell who is like, oop, it's your first time through this quest because you're very mad at it.
I did the same thing. Like I was running somebody through it on a character that they hadn't done it on before.
Yep.
And they were like, what is the answer to this? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't have to do it again. So you got to figure it out. Yeah. I remember it was like the clans that didn't follow something.
Yeah, and they've got their symbols on the actual.
Their symbols
plates.
Don't match what you would think they.
The symbols are. I remember it took me a little while to make sure that I had the right symbol to the right clan. Yeah. But no, that's another good choice because that is a fantastic addition to, I mean, sort of ESO only is where so much of that was expanded upon. I really like so far. A lot of this is like what ESO has specifically expanded upon, which as much as a lot of people have issues with like, oh, I don't like this multiplayer game. Why isn't it more canon and Elder Scrolls 6 instead? It's kind of funny because at this point, like, you know, we just had the 9th year anniversary for Elder Scrolls Online. And I get, you know, people not wanting to play multiplayer or whatever, if that's not super your thing, but they've made it so single player focused. It fills that.
Yeah.
Thing.
MMOs have a very specific style.
Especially
to them.
With the companions.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, the companions have also made it much more
like,
streamlined.
ESO is like, I feel like notoriously the least MMO-like MMO. It is still an MMO, so if you
without a doubt.
Sure, don't play it, I guess, but give it a shot because it's very
gem.
Much the most single-player friendly version. But and, I mean, back to what has contributed, like, mostly ESO has given me like what actual Orsinium looks like because we don't ever get to walk in Orsinium in any other game.
Right.
But you do get a lot of what to expect from like the lore provided in Daggerfall.
Without a doubt.
Daggerfall provides a lot of like what Orsinium is like because the king is a very huge player in the like race to get Numidium and all that.
Right. Well, and kind of just to your, I know. To your point though, like the thing that I thought was so cool is that like a lot of these things are just prior to ESO, we had heard more about them, and now we got to see an artist's interpretation of them, which has been interesting, actually kind of getting some type of like actual visual representation of them, even if it's like maybe a little different or in some situations maybe a little too the same, because like when you get off the boat in Sidonian, it's like, wow, this dock is really durable, like holy crap, this lasts for quite a long time, this rickety wooden moldy dock. It's
like... and Skyrim did a really good job of like showing us what it was like for the orcs who don't live in Orsinium, because you get to see literally what the life is like in those like longhouse encampments, which is a really cool thing. And I would like to imagine that like Orsinium as a whole is a lot like that, but with like stone fortresses and permanent structures.
I was
going
to say a little more permanence to it.
Yeah. Instead of a lot more of a like nomadic culture inference, it'd be a lot more like, oh no, they have settled here for as long as the rest of Tamriel will let them.
Right. And even though they are kind of like nomadic around the region. You can also have a set area that you work within, even if you like move camp, but it's not like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm not moving across the entire continent. I'm moving within like an area code or two.
Yeah. It's like kind of real world ties to like the Romani people in actual mm-hmm. history lost their home. And
sure.
unfortunately, they did not ever get a home back. So they are
left to be
nomadic people throughout the world.
Right.
But you still have a lot of their culture spread throughout everyone sure. else's. And it's really cool to see that in game represented pretty well, how like the orc culture can influence a lot of the Skyrim cultures around the encampment. And then you see like the wood orcs in Grotwood. You know, there's a lot of cool influential stuff that just from the nomadic people putting their presence. And so Orsinium being like my favorite region is like, well, there's a bit of Orsinium throughout all of Tamriel, and I sure. like every influence that it has.
Nope. Another very good poll. All right. Josh, Falcon, either of you feel like you want to throw one out?
I can go.
All right.
Yeah, I had a few. First of all, I like a lot of the ones that we've talked about already. I feel like the questing in Grotwood is underappreciated. Like some of my favorites, like the side, I don't know about side quests, but ESO has a lot of quests.
It sure does.
Yeah. But like my favorite, like I guess little side, some of my favorite side stories from like those mainline original provinces are in Grotwood and the Aldberry storyline. But I also, I really like Bardenfell, and I was going to say Clockwork City, but I didn't know if it would count as like a province. So Clockwork City is definitely my favorite.
I would absolutely count that, especially because it's basically like a fabricated version of what Sothisil sees the world as, and then literally made it. So I would think just because it's very small, it still technically counts.
Like, I mean, we said Blackwood, so I mean that's an area within an area.
I was gonna say that's under the map. This is just kind of resting politely on the map, so I think that totally counts.
Yeah, well, and it, so I'm a very big Lovecraft fan, and another game series that I play a lot, like I play a lot of the FromSoft games, and so I feel like Clockwork City is kind of the most like Lovecrafty and like cosmic in that way, like that Elder Scrolls, maybe not, I'm sure there's more obscure stuff. I haven't played a lot of the older games, but like in ESO especially, that's kind of like in that. Oh, I guess with Necrom coming up, we're going to get a lot more of that.
But sure.
To this point, that's kind of been like the weirdest in that way that it gets. And I like a lot of the stuff with like the automatons and Sothisil and his sister. I think that's really creepy stuff.
That is
how
so
about the eerie music? Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all of it. Yeah.
And it's full of dark elves, so there's plenty of racism too.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Sorry. Lovecraftian's work. Don't love Lovecraft himself.
That's true. I didn't really think of that connection, but I'm sure the Dark Elves would love Lovecraft for
that. What do you actually, Jamar, if you want to jump off first before I jump in.
Yeah, thank you. The music in Clockwork is so cold and sci-fi and just eerie that it really adds to like the zone being you know, not organic, and it's a really cool place to be. Clockwork did cross my mind before we came to the podcast, but if you can't tell, I like Elder Scrolls. Anyways, go on.
I'm actually glad you brought up that too, because that was something that I thought really kind of sort of to Josh's point of it being like,
it's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Almost like otherworldly in a lot of ways. That place is very out there. And it might not even seem as out there as it really is until you kind of really look at what's going on there. It is dystopian AF in there. Like, it is a... It is a messed up environment, even though it's supposed to be like this utopia.
I feel as though if you spend, like I have personally felt after spending a lot of time in Clockwork, I'll return back to Tamriel, like back to Nern and everything. And like, it feels like I'm coming back to like civilization in a weird way. Like it's so desolate out there. Like there's people, there's the automatons and there's all the citizens, but it can make you feel cold and alone. It's interesting. The atmosphere there is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The music I find to be incredibly good in that area. It's really kind of depressing if you kind of just sit and listen to it. But like it's very much like you said, it's like it's got like a creepy vibe to it, even though it's supposed to be like utopian. You had mentioned, Josh, the thing with Sothisil and his sister, where there's like questions of like, well, is the voice in the automaton, like it's strongly alluded to that's the memories of his sister,
right?
Who,
yeah,
died really horrifically.
Not great. Yeah. Not great.
So it's like it's got this like really, really just unsettling vibe that's always kind of lingering in the environment, which is I think very unique to that region. And it's funny just because like the other region you mentioned being Vardenfell, they're obviously strongly connected because, you know, that's kind of like the whole where Sothisil's from thing. But I really like the fact that it's like, yeah, those two kind of go hand in hand, because it's like, well, here's what he basically wants to mimic, like Vardenfell and Morrowind in general is what Sothisil is sort of trying to mimic in this world. And instead it's just this synthetic, like cold version of it. And it's like, woof, it's like, it's not quite as, maybe didn't quite stick the landing as much as he wished he did.
Yeah. It feels really out of touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Sothisil.
Very much so.
He nailed it, I guess, then.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, I don't think he wanted it to be that way. Maybe
right,
he did,
right,
because
right.
Yeah, know, maybe ego's a big thing, but I feel like it was definitely one of those like, oh, what do you mean it's all cold and emotionless? Oh, that's just who I am as a person, and I just kind of let that bleed out into my work, because that's how art works. And creating this place is kind of his artwork.
For sure. Yeah. And I feel like that plays into the Lovecraft thing too, because that's a big Lovecraft thing where like he didn't get what he bargained for at all. Like he thought he knew the rules and he thought he had it figured out. And it's just not how that worked.
Right.
I would say a bit of the creepiness, I feel like 70% is because of his creation being him.
right.
But
yeah.
Also, the fact that when we see it in ESO, it has a lot of Nocturnal's influence at the time.
It does.
And so there's a lot of shadowy, creepy, like very...
I love that.
...serious darkness stuff going on. Yeah. It's super cool. I love like all like the like the shades coming from the ground.
Yeah, and the shrieks coming out and everything. Yep.
Yeah.
No, another... very good pull, because that one's actually it's funny. I like how a lot of these are just like really like staples of the series that you don't necessarily think of right off the bat.
We're not here to be boring, Lotus.
Yeah, I appreciate you making this. This makes it look like we know what we're doing on the show by having all of you.
Hey, I chose Glenumbra. That's pretty vanilla.
You chose Blackreach first.
We're going to help you out and ignore the Glenumbra part.
Okay. Thank you.
Plus, you love everything.
Yeah.
Well, like I said in the chat, his favorite region is the whole game. So.
Yeah. It seems to be. Yeah.
We're joking in the chat. I called him a bit of a regional hoe.
Yeah.
Going from region to region.
I did not see that.
Falcon, you got a region of choice that you might want to throw at us? If you do, you're muted.
Oh my god, he's dead.
Oh crap. He got too depressed in Clockwork City.
That was the problem.
I assume he'll be back soon. We can
I'll assume
about
as
Clockwork
much.
City. It's not...
We can
once he returns,
find out what Lotus is.
Yeah, so once he returns, he can totally just sub in. But if you thought Jamoroff was a bit of a regional hoe, I'm way more of that. I will start by saying that, like, for the sake of you know, playing by the rules, my favorite place that I would just default to would be pretty much anything from the Morrowind region. Probably to the surprise of not too many. A lot of people probably would also expect Apocrypha, which I do think is really cool. But Morrowind in general, a lot of it relates to nostalgia factor, because that was the game that got me hooked on the series itself. When I first played The Elder Scrolls III Morrowind in all its very polygonal graphics on the Xbox original. But I feel like if that region wasn't so effing weird, I might not have bothered to stay and try to figure out what the game even was. Because I was much more of, like, for lack of a better term, I was like a shooter bro. Like, I played Call of Duty or Halo or Unreal Tournament and Madden. And that was like the extent
that's
of
okay.
my gaming.
We forgive you.
Yeah. That's right. Madden doesn't, because I don't buy his packs.
I don't know.
but those were sort of more my type of things before. And I would just goof around and play whatever. But when I was over my friend's house, I was like, oh, what is this thing? Because it just looked like basically a poorly kept book is kind of what the cover looks like. It's like pseudo leather, and it's just like got this weird hand symbol on it, and that's it. And I'm like, what the hell is this game? And he's like, you probably won't like that. And I started trying to mess around with it, and every time I asked a question, my friend's like, you can do that. I was like, well, can I just mess these people up and take their house and live there? He's like, I guess if that's what you want to do. I was like, that's exactly what I want to do. And I just kept finding more stuff that I was like, wow, this game's, you know, got a lot of freedom. And then I started kind of just roaming around, and I couldn't really wrap my head around what genre the game was, but the environment was so bizarre. It was just weird. And it kind of kept me going back to it for a long time. After doing so, then I expanded out and got really hooked on the series as a whole. That's what I would say if I had to pick a region. However,
so
what
it enabled
I would
you
really,
to be a maniac.
What I really would want to say is that in the joking way that we were like, oh, it's all of Tamriel. It's literally all of Tamriel. And I can explain why I would say that specifically, as opposed to just like, I don't want to come up with an answer because thinking is hard. The thing about the series that I love so much is the diversity of biomes in this makes this series feel so much more complete than anything else. Not to dunk on any other types of, I don't know, fiction.
Dunk on them. Go for it.
Well,
they suck.
So in Star Wars, you have planets devoted to,
like, what Satan
is. It's the snow planet. It's the jungle planet. That's fine. Like, whatever. But that doesn't Like, that kind of doesn't really make a lot of sense. So this, I feel much more like you don't even have different continents so much as like, because you get a little variety, but like so many things need to give you a totally separate area to give you a difference in a biome. Whereas the continent of Tamriel feels like an actual like continent, because even just us talking about where we live, where we visited, it's so different. And we're all not even that far away from each other, which is how a lot of these things work. So the fact that there's so much variety between everything, even on just the continent, then you have things like Atmora. And
I was going to say, like, just imagine how weird it gets. Foreign they would be.
Exactly. Like Akavir,
Yakuta. Like,
give me a game where we go to Thras. Like, what is that about? Like, what even is that? But like the fact that there is so much variety, you've mentioned, each of you has mentioned these really unique things, a lot of times very different from each other, be they fantastical and something like the Clockwork City, or if they're, you know, something that we're saying is like pretty generic, like Glenumbra. The weird sticks out more because it has the opposing normal to balance off of. And I feel like that actually helps make each of the things feel more unique as a result. So like a lot of the reasons that these things click and seem so cool is because they have counterparts that are either so normal, it makes it stand out more, or it's the normal thing that grounds it. And it's like, well, yeah, it's medieval Europe. That's something I can relate to. Not everything is giant mushroom towers with coral mountainsides and stuff like that. It's a good mix of everything, both realistic and not so much. So
yeah, and I like when I was talking about Orsinium having like all those orc settlements throughout all of Tamriel, and how like the diversity of that just makes it so much more interesting. It really comes back down to just why Tamriel as a whole is so cool and interesting. So like, yeah. Totally agree.
Still called me a hoe.
That's
yeah,
right.
Because I still chose one place. I just chose a place that has dipped their toes in a lot of other places.
Yeah.
And Falcon, you got your phone back.
Yeah. I don't know. Zoom makes it upset for some reason.
It happens. It's part of technology. All right. Close us out, buddy. What would you go with for your region of choice?
So I don't play ESO. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't have a ton of experience of most of these.
That's okay. We forgive you.
I want to...
You're missing out.
You still got plenty to work with. So
I'll talk on at first the Hammerfell, because I like to play as Red Guards.
Okay.
I think like that, like vaguely Middle Eastern part is interesting. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I think their architecture is some of the coolest in the entire series.
Yeah,
like pretty much hands down.
That's part of why I like to play as Red Guards. I also they're the least popular in Skyrim, so I want to give them love, I guess.
That's fair.
But like to go like more micro, the Forgotten Vale.
Ooh, okay.
I was thinking about that one.
Because like it is the most Skyrim to Skyrim. Like you think of Skyrim, it's just like, yeah, it's just like snow mountains. I mean, there's even snow elves there.
Yep.
Or snow elf? I don't remember.
Snow elf, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's snow elf.
There are a lot of things in the caves around.
Well, yeah, then, I was going to say, if you want to keep the whole thing, it's like, yeah, there's plenty of Falmer, which are technically snow elves, so makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's like Skyrim Untouched.
But really, it's just the one.
Yeah, it's just the one.
I mean, there are notably two. It's kind of a big plot point that there are two.
Yeah, all right. That's fair.
I guess now there's one. Spoiler.
Well, I was okay. Yes. Yeah. See
spoiler so, for.
Yes. Spoiler.
Like 11 years ago.
Yeah. Spoiler for vague numbers on an expansion years, from 11 years ago. All right. So one thing I've got to ask you then, because I really am curious on this then, because this is actually a pretty interesting way of, you had mentioned one that could potentially tie in. We don't know what the deal is with Elder Scrolls 6 yet.
Yeah.
Would you be interested? Because again, there's speculation of where this is going to be. The Hammerfell region type of thing is pretty... pretty highly debated on, like, okay, is that the region we're going to be in?
I don't know if debated is the right word. I feel like it's a like grand unison of like everyone's pretty sure it's going to be Hammerfell.
I guess that's true. It seems like since we haven't heard anything from that trail, it seemed like originally there was a lot more debate on it. And you're right. And now it's kind of, yeah, you're right. Now it's kind of fizzled into, so we're going to Hammerfell, right? And
that trailer has been so picked apart in
exactly
5 years. Like, holy crap.
And we will find out for sure for at least another two.
Yeah, no,
minimum.
2035.
Pretty popular theory. I think
we'll see some big announcement next year because it's the 30th anniversary of the series.
And we'll finally most likely have played Starfield.
It just depends when Starfield releases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If Starfield still comes out in September. As it's supposed to.
I don't think we should trailer, but we might get an announcement.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
I don't know if we'll get a full trailer, but I think they'll reveal some more stuff for the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, maybe just give us some information to ruminate on and go crazy.
They did that with the 25th, because that's when they should like kind of, you see it behind the scenes with the new game engine.
Right, right, right.
Because they did the mocap with Skyrim Grandma.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's true. That's true. So like, going on the assumption, because Rob's kind of right, it's less debated now, more kind of just like passively accepted until we get a reason that we don't think it's that, especially with like the weird, is it a nudge to the region on that thing that was carved into the side of the Starfield dashboard where it looked like the Hammerfell region that people were like looking at. So it's like, we'll just go on the assumption. Like, let's say, okay, sure, Elder Scrolls 6, it'll be in the Hammerfell region. What Since it's a region that you're obviously interested in, something that you like, is there anything you would be really like, oh man, I really hope they cover that? Like a specific thing or anything that you're really hoping to see? I mean, obviously the Redguard influence will be pretty interesting. Yeah. And I would really like them as main characters as a, you know, each game has the race of choice as like the default. Yeah. So it'd be kind of cool to have them be the race of choice, because I feel like they are really pretty unique to the series and pretty cool. But is there,
because they're like one of the,
yeah, is there
the
like
only race not from Tamriel, or who is there another one?
So technically
Argonians, debatably,
Argonians are a little suspect. Nords originally not so much.
Yeah, they're from
Atmora. Yeah, so they came
in. Talking about, they were born on the Throat of the World.
Yeah, all of them are born there. All the Nord women go to the top of that mountain and sit on the eggs.
Yeah, sit on the eggs. Perfect. Ah, flawless continuity. But, beautiful.
But yeah, no, I would be very excited for it to go there. And I guess it's not, I know the topic of this episode is places, but what I'd be most interested to see is it sword singing? Is that
Oh my God, I'm so glad you brought this up.
Because they can't go, since they introduced shouting, they need some equivalent, and that feels like a rough equivalent.
I could not agree with you more on that.
I mean, we've been getting like teasers from like Sai Sahan's story in the base game, and then also in his future appearances that keep coming back to like him developing sword singing. So while it's shown to be like a lost art, it's not truly lost, apparently.
Right.
Sai Sahan never like wrote anything down, which would be.
But I mean, I guess if you're real good at reading the Book of Circles, maybe you can figure it out type of deal. I mean,
yeah.
No, I like that you brought that up, because that's actually one of the things that I really, assuming this is where we go in the next game, I totally agree with that as well. I've mentioned that a few times before. Exactly like you said, it's like that will be your comparable superpower, quote unquote, as like shouts or whatever. a sword singing thing could be very cool, and the potential of it is pretty world bending as well, because they always have like the catastrophic event that's going on that gets all wacky, and then everything else is kind of just like, oh yeah, these are much more grounded storylines and stuff like that. Yeah. Dark Brotherhood, stuff like that. Whereas theoretically it potentially sword singing was what sunk the continent of Yakuta, according to some stories.
Allegedly.
So, plot twist. Allegedly. We go to Valenwood.
Unless we go to Valen, and then it turns out it's Elder Scrolls 6.
Right?
Plot twist, act of year.
You just skip out of the continent entirely.
Unless they do this, like, pattern of, like, you know how in... I don't know about the previous games prior to Morrowind, but, like, starting with Morrowind anyways. You are, like, this... the Nerevarine, or
oh yeah, the Nerevarine. Yep.
And then in Oblivion, you're kind of just some person. And then,
well, no, you're in the dreams of Uriel Septimus. Yeah, you are still prophesied.
Like, you're not as like
no, you're the best friend of the person, like, who saves the world in Oblivion is what you are.
Yeah. And then in Skyrim, you are the.
Yeah, you're the Dragonborn, right?
Oh, this next game, you should be a nobody.
You're going to be a nobody again. You know what I mean? Unless they do that.
So that would,
and then,
so that would be kind of interesting, because like in and out of the different games, just we'll close up on just kind of this whole weird idea of like this. But like, a lot of times when they're not an important character in some of the games, because sometimes you're not, like, you're just, you know, you're a Blades agent in Daggerfall and your boat just shipwrecks. You're the second best mage at the Battlespire Academy. Like, the best mage is literally out in front of you doing all the stuff that you should be doing because she's better than you. So you're number two up until she gets captured.
Blades, like, you're literally just a survivor.
Yes. It's Blades. You just show up and you're like, my dad was popular. And you're like, was he though? Because like nobody knows who you are. Like,
I feel like they could do another huge prophecy thing where you're like, oh, you're Mantling Hounding, or you're like the Return of the Shihai or something like that.
Yeah.
They could do some huge big prophecy hero. And they, if they go to Redguard, they probably will do something like that. But whether they do it where you are a nobody who becomes that, or you are just are that, we'll see how they approach
exactly.
That.
And to that point, in Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, the joke is you're the person who helps the chosen one, as opposed to you being the chosen one.
Yeah.
However, then you become a really weird chosen one in an expansion in a totally off the rails way, where it's like, okay, well, now you're potentially one of the most powerful of all the characters.
Yeah, you're not the chosen one in the base game story of Oblivion, but you are still prophesized, because Uriel sometimes like, oh, I saw you in my dreams. You're the one who's going to help complete this story for us.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Martin Septim's going to be the hero, but you're going to play a key part.
Definitely. I hope we lose in Elder Scrolls 6.
Those stories are fun
where the hero is not the winner.
Yes, it doesn't go the way you think.
Well, I feel like that would be very like devaluing to the player experience, but I think it would be really interesting if the player won, quote unquote, but like was still left in ruin. Like they're like, oh, you won, but at what cost? And
yeah,
that'd be a
which
really interesting thing,
right?
Which is just straight up died.
you won, but you died a hero.
A new character.
Well, yeah, I mean, in Morrowind, you basically just screw off when you're done. Everybody's like, where'd the Nerevarian go? We're like,
don't you go to Akavir?
He went to go find some Akaviri girlfriend.
Yeah, it becomes very nebulous and people kind of lose track of you. And that's just it. I mean, prior to Dragon Breaks being a MacGuffin for the series, I mean, it was essentially created as a writing method, because at the end of the Elder Scrolls 2 Daggerfall, there were so many canonical endings. They're like, well, what the hell's the real ending? Like, what do we do? Because not all of them are great. Like, some of them, much like you said, you don't necessarily lose, but you didn't exactly win. And then some of them you sort of win. So it's like,
Yeah, we've talked about, like, in Oblivion, the hero does what the hero's supposed to do, and you win the game. Right. But, like, Dagon succeeded. He might not Correct. Have won, but he did succeed.
Yeah, exactly. And it's highly debated on how much we actually... It looks like we win at the end of Skyrim, but there's arguments to be made that we actually screwed quotes. Stuff up.
Yeah. Like, I do like, oh, like, you just sped up the end of the world.
Right? It's like, you done messed up.
I do hope multiple endings come back.
I would love that. But no, actually, just, yeah, to close this out, I actually really like that. I would love a Redguard focus. I've been waiting for a Redguard chapter to be added to the Elder Scrolls Online specifically for that same reason. I think they're awesome. Their region is cool. A lot of their traditions are really interesting and stuff like that. So I would love to see that fleshed out more.
Having them be the star race, like you said, like the default player.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
It'd be really interesting.
That'd be cool.
On a real world perspective, how many video games do you have a black character be?
Oh,
the main
sure.
Character?
If you want to even go with something like that. Yeah. So
that's just one aspect. And then two, I've listened to so much like lore podcasts and like I'm so into the lore, obviously. And anytime people start bringing up the Redguard lore.
Yeah.
It's just like it's foreign to me. I'm still interested. I still want to learn, but it's like, oh, I don't really know much about the Redguard lore because they get so hidden, and it would be so cool to have them be at the forefront and us get to learn so much more and get the in-depth stuff that we have and all the other stuff. And get the same treatment for the Redguard.
Is their best representation the game Redguard? That
there's a lot of ESO lore that helps, but
there is a lot in ESO.
Honestly, Sai Sahan is like the forefront.
Yeah,
Daggerfall. The game has a lot of
Yeah, there's a decent amount in Daggerfall that I've been uncovering while I've been playing through that. There's obviously a decent amount there, and the whole thing with like being in Sentinel and stuff like that, you're there a lot. So they flesh a lot of that out for what the story. I mean,
but
there's
it's
a story
never
there, but
the
it's
main
harder
location.
To get to. Right. Yeah. And
besides Redguard, the game.
And then there's the Elder Scrolls Adventures Redguard, which we're not going to talk much about this because. It may or may not be like in my top three most disliked video games I've ever played. The game just straight up doesn't work. But that aside, they definitely give you some stuff in that game. I haven't played it in years, but they do fill out some of the stuff. It is definitely like 90s as hell, so it's really cringe a lot of the time too. The only thing I will absolutely say, unparalleled awesomeness from that game, is the main character has like one of the best voice actors.
So is Clavicus Vile. Yeah.
I think that's the first game Todd Howard was director for, too.
Yes, he is front and center at the start of those credits, which is
I think he actually does voice act some of the characters in that game, too.
I'm not going to look it up. I just want to assume he's random Pirate B who just literally, when you're in sword fights with these, like this specific model, they're just like saying, on guard, like nonstop, just insufferable. Nonstop, no matter what's happening. But awesome. All right. Well, Jamarv had to take off because he got a call. But so we'll just go around the table. If you guys are up to anything that you want to shout out, feel free. And personally, I just want to thank you all for being here. I hope Tom feels better for next show. But we'll just start back where the cameras are positioned. Ben, what have you been up to? Got anything you want to promote before we take off?
You know I do. I am.
It's a very leading question.
I know, right? So I am host of Holocron History, Star Wars Canon versus Legends, to where we take a deep dive into the Star Wars universe. And I'm also one of the hosts for the Wizarding World Lorecast, to where we take a deep dive in all things Wizarding World and Harry Potter. Other than that, catch me on my Twitch channel, Ben of Temeria. I am trying to get back into streaming again. I live stream both my shows, but I just live streamed SWTOR for the first time in like forever. So yeah, I'm trying to get back into doing more stuff.
Nice. Awesome. T-Rex?
I'm not doing anything. I do have my master's degree graduation next week.
Oh, yeah?
No, the week after. Whatever. It's on the 9th. Whenever that is.
Whatever week the 9th is on, it's that.
Yep. Sorry, that was my phone.
Oh, that's fine.
But that's all I've got going on.
For anybody on,
I'm in the Discord. Oh, sorry.
No, you are in the Discord. But for anybody who might be watching this, yeah. I was going to say, I want to, since you're not bringing it up, you got a wicked sweet Elder Scrolls tattoo. We're tattoo buddies.
Oh, so, yeah. Like, yeah.
You've got the Ouroboros around there. I've got mine going this way.
And then
your newest edition from the Nocturnal.
I don't know how to show this. It's like inside my arm, like that. But yeah. It's my Nocturnal inspired tattoo. Sorry, my husband's sending me reels.
So we're just gonna have to cut all of this out. Sorry.
Yeah, for real.
Cramp the whole episode.
The bird looks awesome.
Yeah, they came out awesome. Yeah. That's why I was like, okay, those are even Elder Scrolls related. I'm gonna shout those out for you if you don't, because they came out great.
Yeah. And I should be getting my next one here. Probably in the next few weeks or so. It'll probably be Mephala. No. actually, the artist drew this out himself. Like, I sent him the what's it called? The like Nocturnal symbol from the mm-hmm. games. And it's mm-hmm. the crow or raven, whatever sure. bird you want to call it, holding the crescent moon, right? And I was like, I want this, but I don't like the way it looks. So could you draw it out? And then so he drew this.
But make it good.
Yes.
This but better, please.
And I told him, like, I showed him the one from Mephala, and he's like, I could draw that out too with some spider webs and, like, you know. I'm like, nice. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that'll probably be the next one. Not sure where I'm gonna get it yet, but
I recommend just to, you know, forehead to chin.
I'm not doing
ear
that.
To ear.
No. What she'll have to do is get the hand from the Dark Brotherhood there.
Oh yeah,
there that's what you need to do.
Just look like Warpath.
Unironically, oh, kind God. Of a cool suggestion.
They actually have that as like one of the things in ESO. I'm pretty sure it's like they, just a yeah. hand.
Yep. They totally do.
I'm like,
you are correct.
That's stupid looking, but all right. I don't know who does that one. But I am in the Discord and I am on Twitter. I don't really like post anything, but I'm there.
You're lurking.
Yeah.
Sithis is disappointed in you for not choosing that first option.
I have to figure out a Dark Brotherhood tattoo. I don't know what I'm going to get yet. I would like to do something with this.
I feel like that would have different connotations.
Related to Sithis, but that's kind of hard since you don't really have a representation.
I was going to say, there's not a lot of
space.
There's probably like some Argonian like symbology.
Oh, like a shadow scale symbol. Yeah, there might be.
Yeah, maybe something. Like, I would look into that. There's probably something.
I'll have to look more into it.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, what have you been up to and or are still up to?
Yeah. Well, just because Jumaroff's not here, I want to help a friend out. Go follow him on Twitch. He's Jumoraf. He streams on Twitch. He wasn't able to sign off, so just helping out a friend. So that's where you can find him. If you want to find me, don't. I'll find you.
Cool. So Rob is in the Dark Brotherhood as well.
No, I'm kidding.
Who's outside of my window?
Rob the Princess, you can find me on Twitter. I sometimes post like a dumb meme every now and then. I don't go on there too often. I am the guild officer along with my friend Jillian. We run stuff on the PCNA server for the Lorecasters. we shenan and then we shenan again all the time. So it's lots of fun. And if you want to join, just reach out and we'll be happy to run stuff with you, teach you the ropes if you don't know. And if you play on one of the other servers, I'm sure their guild officers are half as cool as us. So that's fine enough.
Awesome. Awesome.
And that should be, also Sky Oblivion Project.
I was going to say Sky Oblivion Project.
Go check it out. They have a Discord server. Yeah, they have a release date announced. I don't remember what it is, but they have it. So
it's there. You can look it up.
Google it. I promise. That's it. Thanks.
Josh, what are you up to? Got anything you want to shout out?
So nothing to promote at the moment. I am on the Discord and I am in the guild for ESO. Rob did find me this week before I actually jumped on, so he's not kidding about that. I filled out the forms and got a message and got the invite, so that is real, and I can attest to that. But honestly, no, I'm kind of trying not to have anything to promote right now. I've been this is my first time jumping on, obviously, and I've pretty much been working or in college for like 9 years or both for like 9 years, and pretty much just taking a pivot and deciding to do nothing but hang out and play some video games and kind of focus on relaxing because I need to chill out because I haven't really been able to do that in a long time. So find me in the guild or find me on the Discord. But other than that, I'll have some stuff to promote eventually. I'm working on getting set up with I'm going to get on Twitch eventually and do some stuff there and all that. But for now, just hanging out.
Good. I was going to say, take some time to yourself, unwind, have some fun. So,
and it was a pleasure having you for the first time.
I was going to say, it was nice to actually have you join us.
Yeah, I was not like nervous because of the people, just nervous because I haven't really done something like this before. I've done podcasting, but not like with the video and all that.
Sure.
So it's a little nervous, but it was a lot of fun. I'm excited to be on again.
It's fun, and then it becomes addicting.
Yeah.
You want to start your own show.
No pressure. There's just thousands of listeners.
Right.
I kind of threw myself into it too, because when I say like the pivoting, so I graduated from the University of Akron, but then I was most recently at Michigan State because I didn't really like what I ended up doing, but I'm not finishing that either because it's basically just one of those things where I'm tired of paying tuition prices to keep changing my mind.
That's fair.
I'm just gonna stop paying tuition prices until I make up my mind. That seems smarter. And funny enough, when you do that, you save a ton of money. And I jumped on this and the Fallout Lorecast, so I will be on that because I'm saving a bunch of money right now, and I can get some new streaming equipment and sign up for stuff like these podcasts.
That's awesome. And if you ever, you know, this can kind of go to anybody. If you ever question, you know, trying to get used to it, and the more people do this, it's just the more you get used to it. I don't remember offhand because it feels like a million years ago. The first time I was on Tales of Tamriel, they had to like edit the episode an irresponsible amount because I didn't know how to self-censor myself. And I got rambly because I didn't know like really the cadence of it. So yeah, you ever want to learn how to not podcast, you can just find that episode, and it's pretty much just like, yeah, okay, if I just don't do this, I'll be really good at podcasting.
Or just listen to anything from Toasty from the Witcher Lorecast.
Damn, call him out.
He has come onto my show and dropped three F-bombs and Star Wars. It's like, dude, this is family friendly.
It takes some effort to adjust.
Also, have fun, Tom, to edit this episode. This is the longest one we've had so far.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. This is what he knew what he was
doing. Very long episode.
And Falcon, what have you got? Anything you want to shout out?
So my online footprint is essentially this once a month. I don't.
Nice.
Discord, I'll talk on it, but I don't do it. I don't play online games. I just play single player. So, I wish Skyrim was more punishing. I'm looking at mods to install and make it punishing.
Oh, to make it harder.
Yeah, I got mods on New Vegas where my carry weight's like 50 pounds, and it's Woof. just uh, difficult game now, so I'm trying to do the same to Skyrim.
Nice.
I just have it to where gold has weight. That'll be enough.
Yeah, gold has weight. That's a good one. Because 300-pound carry weight is comically high.
Isn't that a base feature in Daggerfall?
It sure is a base feature in Daggerfall. I went to the bank. I couldn't figure out why I was constantly having my shins shatter when I was walking around through dungeon. I was like, I can pick up like a damp rag and I'm over encumbered. Like, what is going on in this game? And I went to the bank and I was like, oh, let me just deposit this like 100,000 gold. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, by the way, you're carrying like 4 pounds of weight. I was like, oh my God, the gold weighed more than my character. Like, what is happening in this world? Yeah,
I would purposely, like, not in Daggerfall because I haven't played that one specifically, but in games that do that, I would purposely buy very, very expensive items that don't weigh a lot of money, that don't weigh a lot of weight. I mean, sorry, because then you're essentially holding all this value that you can sell at a later date, and it weighs like a pound because it's like a magic staff.
Yeah,
unless it's Skyrim economy, then that doesn't make sense.
So make Skyrim more like Daggerfall. That's what I understand. There you go.
Okay. Pretty much. That's
Skyrim wishes. That would be impossible.
Dude, any game wishes it had as many features as Daggerfall.
Horrifying.
And as for me, very easy. I co-host Tales of Tamriel as well over on the same network that we're on right now, Robots Radio. We're the unofficial Elder Scrolls podcast over there, and we just kind of cover news and stories from in games. But other than that, I have not really had any time to do my own stuff as of late. So that's really my only thing outside of this show at the moment. But hopefully, with Necrom on the way out, I'll be able to get back into streaming some more and also eventually beat Daggerfall. I kind of figured I'd be a little farther along than Quest 4 after 40 hours in that game, but it's just probably going for the record for the longest Let's Play in history by the time I'm done. So we shall see.
The PS Guild that you gave a shout out.
Oh, yes, actually, that's true. I don't know if I mentioned that last time, but if I did not, it's probably good to mention again. Thanks, Rob. We actually have a active PlayStation North America guild for the Lorecast now, and also kind of tangentially Tales of Tamriel too, just because I've got crossover from that. So, and we all kind of share a big server of friends. So if you do play on PlayStation North America and you are looking for just a nice casual social guild where if you're looking around something and people are on, you can just ask. We've got an open guild bank. I'm currently building us a guild hall. Don't expect that to happen anytime efficiently soon, but it will be built. That'll have all your crafting stuff and everything like that once I can manage to get that done. But it is live, so feel free to jump on the Robots Radio Discord and you can apply to guild, and we can get you in there as well. So yeah, that I think covers everything. Leave it to Tom to let me host, and it probably is the longest Lorecast we've ever had, and it's still within reason of a short show compared to some of the things I normally do. But
thanks for 3 hours.
It's not three
Let's
hours.
Let's keep the ball rolling. We got more to talk about.
Part so, two.
Yeah, I was going to say. So now we're going to do the mid-show break, and so we are off. I hope you enjoyed the show, everybody, and thank you all for joining us. I'm eager to talk to you all again next month when we should do Game Mechanics next month.
I think
we should do part two of that because this was a very close vote prior to the show. So,
like homosexual people who work at auto shops.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. I'm totally down with it. Whatever. But all right, yeah, I guess Tom, I don't know, Tom, figure out how to edit the end of this. I guess we're all just gonna log out of the call and he can figure this out because I think that's what he wanted us to do.
It's gonna be like 3 hours later,
right?
Totally seamless audio. And not awkward.
Yeah, no, this is totally not awkward at all. I really hope you leave this in because this is a great outro, Tom. All right, see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Everybody.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.